This is William Hill Racing Radio. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Friday's edition. The action on Friday sees cards from Ascot, Fosslass, Haydock Park and Newcastle. In the evening, we have racing over in Ireland at Dundalk. Racing Radio will have all of it covered from 12:40pm with Ollie Pimlott, Sean Quinn and Andrew Mount, your studio team. Let's look ahead to the best of the action on Friday. It's myself, Michael Wood, and joining me in the studio is Tom Morley. Tom, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, Tom, before we get into Friday's action, I think it's worth having a quick look at the Betfair Chase, the feature race on Saturday. That is very much fast approaching. And Colin Tizard has been in the Racing Post this morning, and he's been very confident about the chances of Q-Card.
He has, hasn't he? Yeah, I was reading that, very interested in that. Well, to be fair, you can't blame Mr. Tizard, can you? If you were training that horse, you'd be pretty happy for what it's done for him. So you can understand him being bullish and confident and wanting to just show some positivity, I think, to the racing public. Obviously, it's going to be great to see Conagree back as well. But Q-Card, in some ways, a bit of a people's horse, hasn't he been over the years? You know, when perhaps the very larger stables always have the winners of the big races, it's good to see someone who clearly is very proficient at his job, but perhaps not seen in that with the same of quantity or quality of horses all the time. And it will be interesting to see. I think this race, there's a few question marks about a number of the runners that have been thrown up, perhaps from their outing so far this season, or in fact, of course, in Conagree's case, the absence, and it may answer a few of those questions. So yeah, it'll be a really interesting race, hopefully.
You mentioned Conagree there. Obviously, he's the 2015 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. I mean, how do you rate his chances for this?
They're saying that he's really, really, really fit. Now, it's like with everything in all sports, really, isn't it? There's nothing can get away from proper match fitness. Whatever you do at home or in training, it can never be fully the same. So, and it's not the first time he's had to come back. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. We know he's a relentless galloper. He jumps quick and fast. And a lot of it will depend on how fit he is. I can certainly see Mr. Tizard saying, and looking at the tactics for Q-Card, they're hoping that they can just this time track something. And one would have thought Conagree will be positive. And you have to assume he's going to be in good shape, properly run race. There could be some other ones that want to be up at the front as well, which, to be fair, could all help Q-Card. But it's just nice to see these horses back at the end of the day. There's a lot of the difference between the jumpers and the flat horses is people can identify with the jump ones. As much as a few flat ones are lasting longer, we see these jumpers year after year showing their stuff, which is nice. You can bring up an identity with them. But I think, you know, it's more than a two-horse race, to be fair. Obviously, you got Silviano Conti. He was beat up at the Down Royal, but the horse that Valsur Lido could prove to be very good, and he was miles clear of the rest. He'll strip fitter almost certainly, so he's no back number. Then you've got Irish Cavalier, who of course won up at Wetherby, confident ride there, took it up from the last, but the ground could be an issue here. I mean, Haydock is a track where the ground can always be slightly problematic. I think it's soft at the moment, more rain forecast, so that probably wouldn't suit, because the ground suited at Wetherby, this horse. Wouldn't want a bog, I wouldn't have thought. Menora obviously actually split Irish Cavalier and Q-Card in that race and showed some good form there. But again, that's got to be slightly debatable how that will run, if it will run even, on the soft ground. Because you've got the question of the jockeys for Conagree as well, with Richard Johnson at the moment on Menora. But he is effectively, if he will be riding Conagree if that one doesn't run. So Aidan Coleman may have the ride at the moment, but there could be a change there, which will certainly be sad for Aidan Coleman if that happens. see you at midnight as a... Can't help but thinking, if this was trained by someone else down south, it would be a shorter price probably than it is. We know Hughes is having a great season. He's netting winner after winner. Musper on Monday, 5 wins, 2 seconds from 7, you know, rides there. Upset the odds on shot at Carlisle. And he will should like the conditions. So, you know, there's quite a strength, although 7, you know, horses only, it doesn't seem like a particularly big field. There's a good strength in depth there. So it'd be a fascinating race.
It should prove that indeed, Tom. Let's look at Friday's action then, and we begin with the listed race at Haydock. It's the 12:50. It's a listed novices hurdle over 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 144 yards. In terms of this listed race then, what do you like in the field?
The biggest problem I've got with this race, to start it off, is the ground. Because I can't see that very many are either proven on soft ground or necessarily... You're taking a leap in faith to say they want it. And as I went through them, I was waiting for one that struck me. I don't want to be nasty to Emperor Commodus, but you wouldn't have thought that horse is good enough. And out of the other four, I didn't think particularly anyone wanted it. Ballyhill had come back in October, run again a bumper, started a short price and again failed to meet expectations. So they then switched into the hurdles, and then we've seen clearly the promise he's shown at home, the expectations have started to happen. He's looked transformed with the obstacles. It's helped him settle. Then when they upped him to Ludlow, upped him another 5 furlongs there, followed up in good style, liked the longer trip and should progress. But this is a drop back in trip, which worried me about that one, combined with the ground potentially. Capitaine ran in 2 bumpers, coming second, beaten favourite at Taunton before winning one at Wincanton in April. Taunton bumper form has been boosted and he won his second one without any issue. Then went to Wincanton again, had a hood fitted and he won a match against a horse rated 110. Keane showed inexperience but had too much class on that day. But the ground again was pretty fast ground for jumpers. So that's got inexperience and again it hasn't encountered the ground that we're likely to see here. Kazerabad, now this was a good standard flat horse for Alain Roy Dupre in France. He contested some black type races out there, and I see he finished behind Harlem Vichy last year, who made an absolute fortune at the horses in training sales last month. Tried very highly initially, which suggested they had some pretty big hopes. Since returning this autumn, had sights lowered and ran well first time behind stable mate Thomas Campbell. Duly progressed at Sandown, looked professional with his jumping and attitude, clearly well regarded. But again, there's definite talk about that horse that he was going to be put away as soon as the ground started turning. So I was sort of dying, perhaps, to have Tahira, but I think that prefers a sounder surface and on the base of the form isn't good enough. So it's a very tricky one. On ability, I do prefer the favourite, Kazerabad, and you've just got to keep your fingers crossed that the ground doesn't inconvenience that one any more than the others.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to 3 races at Ascot that we're going to be previewing, Tom, and the first of those is the 2:45. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles, 5 furlongs and 8 yards. In terms of this one, what do you like in the field?
Yeah, it's a tricky race. The horse that I've gone for in the end is Present Man. Returned to the course after his summer break at Wincanton in October and duly dotted up in a handicap off 125. Jumped well, comfortably repelled. I'm in charge. Then upped in trip, went back to Wincanton for the Badger Ales, but he blundered and came to grief at the second. So you've got no idea there, really, how he would have got on. Runs off 132. He looks to have a great chance. Of the rivals, Go Conquer, up £10 for his facile success in April, but it's not been seen since. So you're taking a lot on trust. Again, you've got the problem with a couple of these is that they haven't run for so long. So you don't know how fully wound up or how much they've progressed over that break. Wings Attract is another who's been off since March when winning at Fakenham. Big step up, you know, you'd probably say it's a big step up going from Fakenham to this course anyway. Cadu Doff failed to complete the last twice, falling at Newbury on the return to track. Had also unseated at Ayr last season in the closing race of last season. So ultimately I went there for Present Man, but a very tricky race again to really get a full handle on.
Let's move on to the next race then, Tom. It's the 3:20 at Ascot, another Class 3 event here. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles, 7 furlongs and 180 yards. What do you think is the best bet here?
My selection here would be, hopefully at a nice price, Minella Daddy. Now, 2016 has seen 2 wins and 3 seconds. Finished off last season with a second of 15 over hurdles behind What a Night, then had the summer off. First home chase at Worcester, came second to South Helvetic. Now, there jumped right and basically got progressively worse as the race went on. Disputed the lead, outpaced before then staying on back again at the winner. Also was reported to have suffered post-race ataxia, which I think is something to do with perhaps losing a bit of control of your joints, presumably got wobbly. Went to Fosslass, four-runner beginner chase there, jumped much better, much straighter, and showed a really good staying performance in first-time blinkers. This horse, I think, he looks better as a chaser perhaps than a hurdler. He's looking to be progressive, and as he gets more experience, I think he will be, and I do like him here. Of the others, Must Meet a Lady's been off since May when a good second on chase debut behind Fear the Dark. Short price and travelled well, but I'm not sure would have won even without the mistake two out there. Horatio Hornblower is another one you haven't seen for a while, now £9 higher than after winning at Fosslass. Ready Token did okay at chases last season, had a break, then won on return at Warwick. Now, main rival in that race unseated at the first, which obviously makes that one hard to weigh up. Actually, this horse then didn't jump well at Sedgefield and literally pretty much came to a halt with a big mistake. So that needs to perhaps rekindle, go back to the way it jumped on the first one. But overall, Minella Daddy is the way I'm going on that race.
So Minella Daddy, the selection in the 3:20 at Ascot. Let's move on to the final race of our preview. It's the finale at Ascot on Friday. It's a Class 2 handicap hurdle at 3:55. It's over 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 152 yards. What do you like in the finale, Tom?
Yeah, a very tricky race here. Again, I'm hopefully going for one with a slightly bigger price. Maybe it'll be an each-way price. Eddie Morris came back at Cheltenham and came an encouraging fourth on the 21st of October. Could be a nice pipe opener. Perhaps it just needed to blow away the cobwebs. Just to seem, because it did seem to run a bit rustily. Couldn't reach the leaders. Deeper race than perhaps what it had been doing previously in last season. But the end of the last season was properly progressive, coming second behind Wolf Trap at Worcester and then one at Fosslass and Worcester after that. So, you know, it was definitely going the right way. And if that first outing has just helped it come on again, I'm hoping that that will go well here. La Rocca, huge question marks. That's not been seen since January 2014. Very good horse back then. Likes cutting the ground. But that's a big absence, obviously, and how much ability it's retained is a question mark. Sire Name, now this has been off again nearly a year, 10 months, and has come over from France. First time tongue tie and hood. It's gone to a big stable. It's provisionally looking quite a short price. I suspect they've got high hopes for that one, but it's a bit of a shot in the dark. Draytonian, another not out since April when won at Warwick, now £8 higher. Finally fulfilled the expectations and probably will continue to progress after that. But overall, I like the fact Eddie Morris has had a run where some of these haven't. And I think that it's a progressive horse and hopefully at a nice price it can reward us.
So Eddie Morris, the selection for the finale at Ascot on Friday. Well, Tom, can you just recap your selections for the four races that we've looked at for Friday, please?
So over at Haydock in the listed race at 12:50, I'm sticking with the favourite Kazerabad, though I'm fully aware that there could be ground issues for pretty much all of them in that race. Then in the 2:45 at Ascot, it's Present Man. In the 3:20 at Ascot, it's Minella Daddy. And in the 3:55 at Ascot, Eddie Morris. And hopefully a couple of those might be at a nice price, you know, potential each way there.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed, Tom. Well, as always, Tom, thank you for your thoughts on Friday's action. And remember to tune into Racing Radio on Friday from 12:40 p.m. As always, Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.